ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं भवामि कविं कवीनां भविष्यवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पदान् श्रीवन्दोदिभिश्चेदसाधनम् ॐ महागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां स्थापकाय च धर्मस्य सर्वधर्मस्वरूपिणी अवतारवरिष्ठाय रामकृष्णाय ते नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां शरणागतदीनार्थ परित्राणवरायणे सर्वस्यार्ति हरे देवि दुर्गे देवि नमोऽस्तु ते कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय हरये परमात्मने प्रणतक्लेशनाशाय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः आपदापहर्तारं दातारं सर्वसम्पदां लोकाभिरामं श्रीरामं भूयो भूयो नमाम्यहम् We are in the beginning of part 6, which is called a part dealing with the grace of the Lord. Nobody is beyond the ambit of the grace of the Lord. Everybody is covered. There is not a single person whom we can say, well, he will not come to the mercy of the Lord. However fallen he may be, however wicked he may be, when one sees a person in distress, in need, applies to the Lord, Lord, you save me now. The Lord has to save him. He has no other discretion. So we saw the story of Ajamila. There is a little extension to it. After all the Yama's messengers who came to take the life of Ajamila, they withdrew themselves and went back. They straight went to their master, the god of death, Lord Yama, and reported to him what all happened. And then they asked him, "Sir, we thought the one who meets out justice to all the people and finally decides whom to send to heaven, whom to take to hell, we thought it was only you. But now some people will come and they interfere. So please tell us clearly, what is your jurisdiction? What is the jurisdiction of other people? And how many more masters we have to serve?" Then he says, "You people think that I am the only boss you have. There is one boss's boss. He is the ultimate authority. He is called the Supreme Lord. And we are all part of him. Unless he decides, nothing can be done by us, even though we be gods endowed with different duties. We can't perform any of them unless he wills it so." And he said, "Well, you want to know the jurisdiction, whom you should bring here and whom you should not touch. I will tell you first whom you should not touch. Ye Deva Siddha Parigita." It says, "Te Deva Siddha Parigita Pavitra Gatha." Those people who are completely devotees of the Lord, they are so much of devotees that on them people have composed the poems and people begin to sing on the good qualities of those devotees themselves. Such people who are all being sung by the gods themselves, who are praised by the gods themselves. And ye sadhava samadisho bhagavat prapanna, and those saints who have got equal vision towards all, whether rich or poor, and whether holding high position or a low position, whether he comes from a low family or a high family, the saints, they look on them all with equality. they don't say, well, I prefer to pamper these rich people because they will give me huge donations. It is not so. They are prepared to deal with all of them equally, in the same way, whether he is poor or rich, whether he prays to the Lord or does not praise the Lord, not whether he praises the Lord or does not praise the Lord. Even then, his mercy is boundless. It has no reason. It will not say, oh, he prayed to the Lord, that is why God is bountiful towards him. No, it is not so. He is bountiful towards all. Tan nopasi yedita harir gadyabhikuptane. He says, such people, they move about freely in this world. But where is the security? Have they got any security gods? Yes. The Lord Hari or Narayana or Vishnu, whomsoever we call him, he has got a gada or a mace in his hand. At all times he keeps it ready to wield it against anybody who harms a hair of his devotees. So they are all completely protected by the gada or the mace of the Lord. So don't touch them. Don't go near them at all. And the Lord's gada will fall on you and you will all be smashed. Then, okay, tell us also clearly who are the people whom we should bring to you. Jihvana bhakti bhagavad guna namadheyam. You definitely bring those people whose tongues have never taken the name of the Lord even once in their life. Jihvana bhakti bhagavat guna namadeyam. The Bhagavan's glories, the Lord's glories, or the Lord's names, whoever has never taken in his lifetime, you bring them to me, then I would like to consign them to the worst end possible. Chetas chana smarada charana aravindam. And those people whose mind and heart have never thought of the holy feet of the Lord. They never thought about him even. Not to speak of talking. The second one is those who have never thought of him even once. Krishna yano namati chira yakadapi. The one whose head has not bowed towards the Lord, towards Lord Krishna, even once. Tanane dhyamanisham. Agrita Krishna Krityani. Those people have never done their duties to the Lord. Wherever they are, in whatever position they are, they may be president, they may be ministers, they have to always think of the Lord. Think of him once. When you start for the office, you think of him for 2 minutes and then you start. When you come back from the office, again you think of them 2 minutes and then you do all your other work at home. So those people who have never even thought of the Lord, who have never taken the name of the Lord, such people, you bring them to me, I will consign them to hell. Thus, Yamadharma Rama clearly defined what is the jurisdiction of Lord Yama and his messengers and what is not the jurisdiction. So now, the next topic here is, well, the creation has just started. The creation has to expand. So, Brahma has created certain people called Prajapatis, of whom the chief was called Daksha Prajapati. His duty was to create a number of sons, and those sons in return, they will increase the creation in this world. So he created 10,000 sons in his wife, and they were all called Haryaswas. And Daksha commanded them, you all go to the forest of devotion, and there in solitude you do penance. You think of the Lord and be meditating on him solely, and thus you will gain the power to create further. go. It is your duty to increase the creation of this world. That is why you have been brought forth in this world. They are going, and when they went to a place called Narayana Saras, a lake, on the way there, Narada, the great sage, the divine sage, he met them. He said, "Oh boys, where are you going? You are going to create. Yeah, you do not know what is the existing world. Have you gone and seen everywhere? And what creation can you make then? You have no idea at all what is creation like. And at this age when you do not know anything." Well, he put certain questions. "Do you know, have you gone to that kingdom where there is only one Purusha? There is only one person, one entity. He rules the entire kingdom. And are you aware of, there is a small hole. You get into it, you cannot come back. It is no exit. The exit door is closed. You can only get in. And there's a river where it flows both ways. Normally rivers either flow one way or the other way. So it flows both ways. Have you seen that river? No. And there's a museum. There's a museum where the entire museum is made up of five beautiful things. Have you seen them? Have you seen that museum? Then what have you seen? And before that you want to go and create." And then he says, they say, "No, we don't know the answer." Then he says, "The only Purusha, the only person who is in charge of the entire kingdom is the Lord himself. Are you aware of it? Are you aware of the Lord? And the hole through which you can go in and you can't come out. And that is death. When you go in, you can't come out. And then there is a lady who takes many forms. That is our buddhi, our intellect. Our intellect goes on changing. This minute it thinks of one thing, the next minute it thinks of something else, the next minute it thinks of something else. It never stays. And that is what is called a lady who changes her mind often. And what is that river which flows both ways? Maya. Maya entangles you. And it is that very power of the Maya which takes you out finally from the samsara and gives you liberation, not moksha. And which is that museum where there are five things? The museum is this world where all the things are made up of five basic elements called earth, air, water, fire, space. So all these things make up all the things in this world. That is the beauty. So these are all the things you should know, you should contemplate on them, and then you go and do anything. You can create, you can do anything. First you learn these things. Then he said, "If you want to learn about all those things by seeing them, you cannot learn unless somebody tells you. To gain all the knowledge about all the things of the world, you have to seek the help of the Supreme Lord." And he tells them some prayers to Lord Narayana, by reciting which they can finally get their liberation. So those people leave their attempts to do any creation, they go away somewhere and they go on meditating deeply on Narayana and reciting this, and finally they reach that liberation. They don't create anything. Daksha heard of it, he was very angry. Their father, "All right, he created some more 10,000 people. He created them and said, 'Hey, don't be like the fools your brothers were. You go and create. I have created you only for that very purpose. And it is the duty of the sons to abide by the commands of the parents. So do what I say. Don't fall a prey to that fellow called Narada. He might try to come. Okay, these people go. Again, Narada beats them with the same questions. Hey, you all come to create. What have you seen of this world? You are young. You have not gone anywhere except your father's house. Then he puts all these questions. Then he says, see, your brothers are very wise. They got finally to that state of liberation where from they will never more be born. So they will never have any sufferings, any sorrows, and they will be full of joy by being one with the Supreme Lord. Don't you want to attain the state? And then he teaches the same thing to them. So they also become like sannyasins. They go away. No more creation. Now, Daksha could not contain his anger. He curses Narada. Narada, you always do like this. Wherever people are in amity and peace, you want to break the peace. You want to break the harmony. And you see, these poor boys, after all, they had to create and then be in this world. They have themselves to learn personally, simply by your telling, these people have been taken away by you. And your child snatcher is to be put inside the jail. So now I am cursing you. You will never stay in any place for a long time. You will be going on moving, moving, moving. And that's what Narada is still doing. And so this is only a very side story, I should say. And Indra was ruling over his kingdom in the heavens. Normally, when you get all affluence, when you get wealthy, when you have got the highest position, and when you have got all means of enjoyment, girls to dance, girls to sing, and all people there to praise him, Indra became proud of his achievements. One day when he was sitting on his throne, his guru, Brihaspati, happened to come. This fellow never got up from his simhasana. He was just sitting. He just ignored his coming. He never even welcomed him. His guru got insulted. Yes, I'll teach him a lesson. He suddenly disappeared. He disappeared from all those places. Nobody knew where he went. When once the demons, the asuras knew that this Indra has been deprived of the guru bala, he doesn't have the strength of the guru behind him, the master behind him. Now he is vulnerable. So they all invaded him and he had to suffer some beatings and get out. That is what happened. But then he said, this will happen and someday they will all come and occupy the entire heavens and they will send us out. Then what shall we do? So I should have a guru. And I am very sorry now that I have offended my guru. Well, I have sent everywhere people, but nobody is able to trace him where he is. He is not in his house. He is not anywhere in the kingdom. We don't know where he has gone. So he went to Lord Brahma, the creator, and asked him, Brahmaji, I am in trouble. My guru has been angry with me and has gone away. So I want a guru immediately, some good guru in his place. Then Brahma said, there's a grandson of mine. My son is called the Tvashta. He is the sculptor of the Devas. He is also the builder for the Devatas. His son is there, Vishwarupa. So that Vishwarupa will be able to be an able guru for you. After all, he is the son of a Maharshi, himself is a saint. even though his mother was a demoness, she was an Asurastri. But his father was the son of Brahma himself. So Indra went to Vishwarupa and just begged him to be his guru. Vishwarupa agreed. He came there and first he taught him what is called the Narayana Kavacha. There are two or three things in Bhagavata which people daily recite. There are some people who recite this daily because here Bhagavan's various incarnations are recollected and each one is assigned a task to protect him there. Now for instance, I am going by air. So who is the one who can protect you in the air? Bhagavan's own incarnation was there, known as Trivikrama. The full story will come later on. So this Trivikrama, he occupied all the entire area, the heavens, the down below, all the seven lokas, all the 14 lokas, all the 14 worlds he occupied. And let Trivikrama, Jaleshumam Rakshatu Matsya Murtihi. When I go for swimming, I may get drowned. And may the Lord who has taken the incarnation of a fish once in order to teach to people the highest truth. Let him protect me. Like that, the entire teaching goes. At various places, he goes to the jungle, who will protect him? So he goes up in the mountains, there who will protect him? Then, who will protect him in the earth? In the earth, he took Vamana Avatara as a mini god he came. So let that form protect us. Like that, the prayers he taught him, he said, this is like a kavacha. This is like something which will cover you completely, so that nobody can harm you. So daily you recite it and this will protect you. So it was the Narayana Kavacha, it began to protect him. And now the asuras were easily driven out. So the asuras could not come anywhere near the heavens. And every day the Guru Vishwarupa, he used to come to Indra's place and do havan. Every day he will do havan and he will give oblation saying that may the gods, they may recover their full strength so they may fight against the asuras. Let nobody defeat them. With that prayer, they pour that oblation into the fire. And that Vishwarupa, he had two allegiance, from the father's side to the saints, but from the mother's side to demons. So when Indra was looking elsewhere, he will go 2-3 avartis for asuras also. May the asuras grow, may the asuras strength grow. He will do it. One day, Indra found him at it. He was very angry. He cut off his head with his sword. Well, to kill a guru is the greatest of sins. But apart from that, now, again for the second time, he is deprived of a master. The first master left him, the second master was killed by him. Now which master will come to him? They will be afraid. Then, he didn't know what to do. In the meantime, the father of the Vishwarupa who died, when he heard of it, he was very angry. I gave him my son to go as a master, to go as a preceptor, a guru, and this fellow has killed him. Okay, now I will take my vengeance on Indra. Indra should die. So he wanted to perform a special havan, a special sacrifice, where he will specifically invoke the Lord that he should get a person out of the fire, sacrificial fire, will come out, who will go and fight with Indra all alone, and who will kill Indra and all his forces at one stroke. He alone cannot do such a big fire sacrifice. It requires some 14 priests. They are called Rithiks. So he has to call 14. Out of them, one will recite Samveda, one will recite Atharveda, one will recite Yajurveda, one will recite Samveda, and one will supervise, and one will do the havan from time to time. Only one can put the ahuti, not all. So like that, there are 14 people. They're all, the every Ritvik has got a special name. One is called Prastota. Prastota is the one who knows Samveda. So like that. And he trained them in a particular mantra by telling which a person will come out of the sacrificial fire, a demon-like personality, who will go and kill Indra and all his retinue. And that mantra was Indra Shatrur Vardhaswa. Vardhaswa means please grow out of this fire. The one who will be the enemy and will kill Indra, may he grow out of this fire. But the Vedas is a pure science of sounds. You cannot simply pronounce them, they will have no effect. In the Vedas, there are notations in the books, something where the accentuation has to be up, that is called Udatta. Somewhere it has to be down, it is called Anudatta. Somewhere it has to be equal, neither up nor down, it is called Swarita. So, for having this effect, Indra Shatrur Vardhaswa. So there are two words, Indra and Shatru. Now, if the second word it is accentuated, it is called Antyodatta. Udatta or higher up, the last one, the second one. So he told them, Indra Shatrur Vardhaswa, then what happens? Shatru becomes bigger, then Indra goes down, so he becomes the Indra's enemy. On the contrary, the same wordings, if they were told wrongly, Indra Shatrur Vardhaswa, that Indra becomes up, then Shatru becomes down. This is called Adyodatta. The first syllable is accentuated up. Then what happens? Indra goes up, his enemy goes down. So, by the will of the Lord, when the actual havan was being done, all the Ritviks pronounced it wrongly. Instead of telling Indra Shatrur Vardhaswa, they all told Indra Shatrur Vardhaswa. So with the result, a giant was born, notice a demon was born, a demon who will be killed by Indra. Instead of getting a demon who will kill Indra, they got a wrong one. See, that is why Vedas cannot be just told like this. Shanna Mitra Sam Varuna Shanno Bhavadvaryama. So this is not the way. It is clearly given even in the books in the north, everywhere it is given. But unfortunately now, because especially in the north, we have been devastated by the Muslims. And as a result, we have lost our culture. So all the real priests who knew all these things, they were all dead after fighting with the Mughals. With the result, only some people are there. They don't know Vedas at all. They'll be repeating 100 times. Sarva Mangala Mangali Shive Sarva Astradike. They will keep 10 people. All the 10 will recite Hare Ko Dasa Sukhadi Pachas Sukhadi. That's all. You give 15 rupees each. That's all they are concerned with. That's, nowadays, it has come to that. The entire thing is a language of sounds. The entire Sanskrit is a language of sounds. Each letter has got a force. Now she says Ram. Ra is called Agnibija. When you pronounce Ram, or when you think of Ram, you need not pronounce it. Just to think of Just mentally think of Ra. Then Ra produces fire. See, out of all the alphabets, ka, ga, 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 cha, 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 ya, then Ra only has got friction. Ra, Ra, Ra. Friction causes heat. Heat means it contains fire. So in the olden days, 4,000 years back, our Vedas have called it as the seed of fire. We call it Agni Bija, the seed of fire. Now, can we see this fire? You cannot. You cannot see this. What happened is, even now it is being done. In Tibet, when the lamas were being trained in those old days, the boys will be brought when they are 8 years old from their houses here, and they will be cruelly treated. Only when they become the highest lama, they will get all privileges. Till that time, they will not be given proper meats, they will not be given proper clothes. Young fellows, 7 years, and they will be treated very cruelly. Apart from that, they will be given a training. The training is, they will have to sit down in Padmasana from morning to night till they go to bed. They cannot leave that asana. That's called asana jaya first. Even 3 hours if you sit, it is called asana jaya. But there they have to sit. They don't go by Hindu's principle, they have got their own methods. So then they will have to concentrate on their navel, that is the Nabi Pradesh. So on their Nabi. Nabi is the place for fire. In the body, there are various places. One is meant for fire, one is meant for space, one is meant for air. So like that, there are spaces. This navel is called the Manipurika in yoga. So if you concentrate on it, then that fire will shoot up. But the fire will be invisible. You're going to stand by your side. And after 2 or 3 years of training, they test them. They are taken outside during the winter when all snow is there everywhere. They will dig a pit in the snow and put that man down. They will bury him down up to the neck with the snow and all that. And they will tell him, you are given 5 minutes time or 10 minutes time. You have to get up by melting all the snow around you. You cannot move your body. Body should remain like this. But it should melt. So he will only say, he will look at the navel, internally, not outside like this. And then he will say, Ram, Ram. See, we say Ram, they will say Ram. Because they don't know about Ram. So they will say Ram, Ram, Ram. Then huge fire is created. As they have already been trained for 3 years, within 3 minutes, the entire fire will be kindled in them, and that will completely dissolve the entire snow around them, and they can get up. So, similarly now, Ma is called Amrita Bija. Ma and Va are called Amrita Bija. When Ma and Va are pronounced automatically, a rejuvenating elixir comes out. A sort of a liquid, it is called Amrit or Ambrosia, which will completely rejuvenate you. It will make you young, it will make you very strong. So that will be kindled in you. Spiritually, it will take you to a great height. When that starts, entire body is made 100% strong so that you can do your further sadhana and reach the Lord. So this is the method they used to adopt. And there was an Englishman in the olden days, in the British days, nobody was allowed to enter into Tibet. No Indian can enter. But as they had to carry on that business with the Nepalese, Nepalese alone can enter, that no visa or no permission was needed. So an Englishman came, I think his name was Berkeley or something, I don't remember. He, for a long time, he tanned his body by sitting in the sun. So that he looked like a Nepali. She used to dress like a Nepali. And after all, many of them have got a fair color. So this fellow was also nearly to that color. And he went along with that group inside. So no visa, nothing. Then he witnessed one of these ceremonies. Then he was standing very near that fellow who was inside the hole, which was done. He couldn't stand it. He had to come back by 20 feet. He has written his book. He wrote a book. 20 feet he has to come back. That invisible fire was so strong, he couldn't stand near it. So all these are real. That is why in our marriage, in Sanskrit, in English we say, I went. For 2 people, 3 people, 4 people, 5 people, 100 people, we say we went. I, we. There are only 2. One is called singular I, we is called plural. There are 2. But Sanskrit is the only language in the world which has got in between for 2. Phalam khadami means I eat one fruit. Phale khadavaha means we 2 people alone eat these 2 fruits. 2 fruits. So for 2 people. So when a marriage takes place in the olden days, it is not like nowadays. In the olden days, the Purohit was given importance. All the Veda mantras were being told. Even today in South, the Veda mantras, they go on for 4 to 5 hours. And there is no social ceremony of taking photos and all that. It is never there. All the entire ceremony is this. At that time, all the people whom we invite, they go and are present there. This is called the witness marriage. Tomorrow at any time, if that fellow says, I never married this lady, then one of these people, 2 of these people, they can cite as witness. The court will decide accordingly. It is still called the witness marriage. One is Agni Sakshi. The fire itself is the Sakshi, but you can't call it to the court. So there are other men also. Now, there is a mantra which is told. Oh lady, they are telling to the bride, oh lady, Disha asyam putranagam pati megarajam sutam. After you give birth to 10 children, treat your husband as the 11th child. Now, if this dual was not used, if it was used in plural for all, then all the people who are sitting there, who are having less than 10, they will all get their family increased to 10, there will be a family explosion. That is why they have kept that, what is called the dual. Thus, they all have got relation with our daily life, they got relation with our, for 2 people, what is it? Because often enough, you have to give your blessings only for 2. So that is why it was all. The people now, they do not even know. You go and ask the Sanskrit Pandits, why this dual was there? Dual was there, there is a language, they will say, nobody knows. All these things have been lost, unfortunately. People do not even know why. Why this speciality? Now, when all these people told from that, very big, almost very tall, as tall, almost as if touching the sky, a big demon was born. And the one who did the havan, the father of the Vishwarupa, the one who was killed by Indra, he commanded him, you go and kill Indra and all his followers. He went and he was so big, he used to take hundreds of people at one time and gobble them, hundreds. With all their, they'll be having various weapons. With the weapons, it will go inside. That's what he was doing. And he was known as Vritrasura. Vrit means to grow. So an asura who grew to that extent. So he's called the Vritrasura. (Clears throat) Then the meantime, when on seeing this, Indra was terrified. He went and asked Lord Vishnu, now what shall I do? I will lose the battle. I may lose my own life. This fellow seems to be extremely strong. Nobody can defeat him, it seems. Not thousands of them even cannot defeat this one man. Not lakhs of people cannot defeat him. Then what should we do? She said, this can be countered only by the glory of a saint's body. He said, go to such and such place. There is some great saint, he is called Dadichi Maharshi. And the Dadichi Maharshi has done penance for a long, long, long time. And his entire body is full of divinity. You ask him to donate his backbone to you. The man will die. If the backbone is given, where will he live? But that can't be helped. You take his backbone and you give it to your sculptor and get a special Vajrayudha made. It is a particular weapon which is the strongest weapon in the world. Nothing can stand against it. With that only you can kill Vrishasura. Then Indra with a few gods, he goes to that Dadichi and then he bows to him. Saints are great people. You live only for helping other people in distress. So I only want a small favor. It's not a small favor to ask for the backbone of a person. So please give her backbone. He said, okay. He gives it when it is meant for the benefit of the entire world. Because the Vrishasura is to gobble today Indra. Tomorrow he may gobble the entire world. So he is a menace to the world. So he has to be. So Indra takes away the backbone and prepares that Vajrayudha, that weapon called the thunder weapon, it is called. It is like thunder when once it is operated. So the Vajrayudha, and now Vrishasura and Indra come face to face in the battlefield. Then Vrishasura says, O Indra, this time the Lord is in your favor. There are times when the Lord is in our favor also, in the favor of demons, but this time he is in your favor. Not only the Lord is in your favor, your weapon consists of the entire glory of the penance of one of the greatest of saints the world has ever known. That is called Dadichi. This Dadichi is place where he gave his backbone. It is somewhere in UP. I had gone there. It is called Dadichi. I had gone there 2-3 times. And it is beyond Lucknow, Sitapur. On that side you have to go. So nowadays I have forgotten the name even. Every Purnami, there is a big congregation of people there. And all that. And there's a temple of Ramalishmana Sita with Dadichi at worship, and it's called Dadichi Kunda. And Dadichi says there, okay, but I wanted to go to various places like the Ganges, Godavari, Narmada, and take bath. But now, if I die now, I'll be deprived of all those opportunities. Then Indra says, doesn't matter, I will call them all here. In this Kunda. So Godavari, Saraswati, Narmada, Ganges, Kaveri, everything will come here. As all the devatas came, all of them came, except Prayagraj. Prayagraj told, I am the king, I won't come like this, along with all and mix up. Then he said, I'll give you a separate place here, you come. So from the main place, about 1 kilometer off, there is a place of Prayag also there. And we went to that place too. The Prayag was Now, before starting the battle, Vrishasura addresses Indra. Indra, you are going to win. I am going to die, I am sure. But I will die battling you. I will die fighting with you. I am not a coward. But I know that as the Lord is in your favor, I have to die. So before death, I want to pray to my Lord. So allow me. So in the battlefield itself, he sits with bended knees and prays to Lord Sankarsana or Balrama, or who is known as Adishesha, the bed of Lord Vishnu. He prays to him. And mainly there are 5 shlokas in this. And Vallabhacharya, the one who was the founder of the system of philosophy known as Shuddhadvaita. Shuddhadvaita means it is Advaita only. But in Advaita, the topmost entity or the highest entity, we call it Brahman. Brahman from the universal level, from the individual level, we call it as the Self or the Atman. So these are the only 2 names. Individually we call it Atman, and universally the totality, the universal totality, we call it as Brahman, not Brahma, it is Brahman. So, mind suddenly becomes black. So that Vallabhacharya, he says, these 5 shlokas in this Bhagavata, it is the essence of the entire Bhagavata. There is nothing more required. Bhakti is completely given there as to how to do bhakti, how the bhakti should be done, how intense it should be. They are all described here. And there are 5 shlokas I would like to deal with in a little detail. He says, Traivargikaya sa vighatam asmat prabhur vidatte purvasya chakra. Indra, there are 4 motives in life: dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Either you spend your life doing charity, building orphanages, building blind schools and all these, or building temples, or you spend your time in earning money, money after money. There are billionaires, they keep the billions and then they die. Or kama, desires, they fulfill their desires. I know a particular person, his father is very rich, he gave him several crores. He went to UK, he was daily spending 1 crore rupees equivalent in London. He stayed there for 1 full year. You can well imagine. That's all. Whatever he wanted, he could get. So we all try either to get all these things. Nobody tries for moksha. Very rare. Last, when we are ill, when we are able to, then we say, Bhagavan, I want to think of you, but I can't, because I am having arthritis, I am having asthma, I am also just now had my bypass operation, so I can't. But when it was there, they were bothered. That was there. So, we spend all our life making efforts for these 3. Either to earn dharma, virtuous acts, by which we will get some merits or punya, or in earning a lot of money, plenty of it, or in having all enjoyment. Well, you have a fridge? Well, I would like to order a fridge would be this high. Giant refrigerator. Giant TV. The room size TV. So like that. Think of anything, they will have all sorts of things. And when we are trying, we find it's not so easy. So many impediments come. Well, I purchase a car to enjoy. Yep, the costliest car ever known for 80 lakhs rupees, I purchased. First day it went very fine. The second day, I asked my wife and son to push it. And they couldn't alone push it, we had to call my neighbors also. When the third day I returned it, she said, something is wrong, either you have dashed it or so. Our car when you gave us, right, we yourself saw. So we can't reimburse anything, either you purchase another car. So impediments have come in the way of your enjoying. Or you wanted to build a temple or an orphanage. You purchased a big plot of land. And then suddenly, before you could start, you have already given a contract to start there for the building. Suddenly a stay order comes from the court. Somebody has put in this thing, this land was mine. The one from whom he purchased, he had no right to that land. So as such, I am not going to sell it. This land may be given back to me. So they said, no more work needs to be done. And 10 years passed, 15 years passed, the case is not yet settled in the court. It goes on. You get frustrated. I wanted to build. It is a God's work, I thought. God's work, he can do himself very well. You do your work. You only pray to the Lord. The Lord will see to the rest. God has not appointed you as his deputy to help him. He can do things without your help. Trivargikaya sadhikatamasmat prabhur vidatte purushasya chakre. It is the Lord's will which creates impediments and obstacles in the way of our performing virtuous acts or dharmas, in the way of our earning money. Well, I was told that in Dubai they don't have any taxation. Ah, that's very good. The entire money I can save. And you can send back any money you want back to India. Oh, it's also nice. The day after he reached Dubai and taken his thing, the law was passed that nobody can take in 1 year more than 10,000 rupees worth. And they said you can take only once in a year. So 20 years you go on coming there and take your another 10,000 and go back. And they have introduced income tax. They said that all foreigners who come, they have to pay income tax. This income tax is only for our local people. So that is also gone. So the impediment has come. So whatever you started, there is an impediment. Who does it? The impediment is done by the Lord. Why should he do it? Why can't he cooperate with us? After all, I am doing social service. And I am not doing anything for me. Can't he cooperate with us? She says, Tato nimeyo bhagavat prasadu. You take it that God's glance of mercy has started to play on you now. Till now God said, let him go anywhere what he likes. But when the time comes, he says, you are fit to be trained up for the higher spiritual status. Then first he sees that you are frustrated, you become a failure in all these dharma artha common. Then leave see moksha. Lord, now what will I do? Give me at least moksha. Because all other things have failed. Tato nimeyo bhagavat prasada. You have to infer that the Lord's mercy has started to come on me. His eyes have turned towards me now. Out of billions and billions, his eyes have turned towards me. It is his blessing that is putting impediments. Otherwise, I will go and do all these things. I will forget the Lord. And I'll be happy because in all the newspapers my name will come. Shantaramji built this temple. Shantaramji built this orphanage. So I'll be very happy. But you won't get your moksha by all these things. This will give you punya. In the next birth, you'll be born as a Jamindar's son. But you won't get moksha. Moksha cannot be obtained by these means. Now we come to the second. This second is Aham Hare Tava Padi Kamulam Dasanu Daso Bhaktas Vibhuyam. Oh Master, in the next birth, as I am now a demon, I can't be fit to become your devotee. But you make me a slave of your devotee. I may not become your devotee, but make me a slave of your devotee so that I can serve them. Tava padeika mola dasanu daso bhaktasmi bhuya. Again and again, as many births I may take, in every birth, let me become the servant, the slave of the devotees of the Lord, even if I am unfit to be the direct devotees. Then, by being a servant, will you get your moksha? No. He asks further. At that time, I will do all their work. Manasmare tasubhatyar gunamscha. I will be doing their work. I will be washing their vessels. I will be cleaning their rooms. But please also see that at that time, my mind doesn't think anything of the world, but my mind only thinks of you. Of your glories, of your name, let me only think of asubhatyar gunamscha. So may my mind do all those things. Then, rinoti va karma chakar, karma karo tukaya. Let my mouth, let it not be shut. Let me telling prayers after prayers to the Lord. I will be doing my work. My mind will be with the Lord. My mouth will be pronouncing the prayers to the Lord. But the body will be doing the various works. This is all. So please grant me this boon. So, you like me this much? All right. Supposing I make you the Indra, I give you the entire Indra's heavens, I make you the king there, and Indra is sent away, and you become the Indra. Will it be okay? Or still further is Brahmaloka, where everybody is happy, there is no work for you at all. You can only be doing meditation. So I will make you in charge there. Would you like it? Na sarvabhaumam na rasadhipatyam. Or, if you want to remain in this earth, I will make you the king of the entire earth, all the kingdoms, including England, Africa, Australia, Germany, Russia, you will be the only king. Sarvabhauma. You will be in charge of all of them, all of those kingdoms. Shall I give you that? No. The rasadhipatyam, the maximum amount of wealth, ornaments, gold, diamond, they are all obtainable down below. There are seven worlds down below. In that tala tala, rasa tala, they are all full of wealth. Shall I make you the king of any one of these places? I made Bali as a king in one. I'll make you the king in another one. Narasadhipatyam. Na yoga siddhi rapunar bhavam va. Or, I will give you all types of siddhis. You can make yourself invisible. You can go into a dead body and make it alive. Or sitting there, you will just do like this. 100 gulab jamuns will come. I'll do like this. 100 rasagulas will come. Would you like to have those siddhis? Or I will touch a person who was ill for a number of days with cancer. He becomes okay within 5 minutes. Shall I give you those siddhis? You'll be very popular. You'll be very famous. People will all seek your help. Everybody will come to you. No, I don't want it. Apurat bhavamba. Chalo, last. I will give you moksha. Would you like to have it? No, not even moksha. Then what do you want? Samanjasatva virahaiya kaunche. Hey Prabhu, O Lord, I only want you. I don't want anything else. I don't want even moksha. I want you. I want to be by your side. I want to be looking at you. I want to be thinking of you. I want to be sitting at your feet and doing all the service to you. I want nothing else. Samanjasatva vihariya kanshi. I want nothing else. Oh, tell me, yes, you want me alone. How much do you want me? What is the intensity of your longing for me? Can you give me an idea? Ajatapaksha iva mataram khaga. After all, there are no similes in this world, upamas, with which I can compare. It is something incomparable. That longing for you, it is something incomparable, but still I will try. In the nest, there are small siblings of the small children of some pakshi, some birds. They are still not got their wings. Just now they are born, yesterday, day for study. Their wings have not yet come, have not yet sprouted. Ajata paksha, the one where the wings have not sprouted. And the mother and the father have gone to bring breakfast. They have not gone to any hotel. They have to go here and there and find out. And usually they come back by 8 o'clock. Today it is 9 o'clock and they have not come back. They have not yet come back. So, with what longing those children will be waiting, because they are just born. Where is my mummy? Where is my daddy? Where is my breakfast? That is the main thing. They are not bothered about daddy and mommy. At least breakfast. So, then, it's not enough. Sanyamyata vasadara chudhatta. The cows have gone for grazing. The cows have been kept in the house. They have been tied. And exactly by 5 o'clock, their mothers, the cows used to come back. And they'll be waiting, jumping, and the moment they come, they will fall with them. They will follow the mother and they will begin to drink the milk. And with what longing, on a day when their mothers are delayed, these calves will be waiting. Oh, where is my mama? Ma, ama. They will begin to cry after 5 o'clock. Today is late. So in that way, not only that. Priyam priyeva vishitam vishanna. A newly married couple, they are here, and the husband had to go on office duty to Bombay. And he said, don't worry, Monday morning I'll be here back. So Monday morning onwards, with what longing she'll be waiting for him. For the husband has gone on tour to Bombay. Whenever there is a sound of a taxi, or whenever there is a sound of an auto, she will go and peep through the window. Is it not my husband? Is it not my husband? So with what longing? Because it's about a week's time. He has not yet come. So with what longing she'll be waiting? Manoravinda Atadidrikshate Tvam. What shall he say? I can't think of any other similes to tell you how intense my longing is. So, this is the intensity with which I want to see you, Lord. I want to be with you. I want to see you. I want nothing else. I don't want even moksha. I don't want liberation. Then the last sloka. Mamottama sloka jane etu sakhyam. He had a doubt. He asked in the beginning that dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuya. Let me become the servant of all the devotees of the Lord. But now he had a doubt. I am such a bad demon who at one stroke had killed so many of these gods and gobbled them all. So, God may not allow me even to be a devotee. They will say the devotee will be polluted by having such a wicked fellow who was in the previous birth a demon. So he wouldn't like to keep him as a servant even. Then in that case, he says, you give me a birth anywhere, so that in that region where I am born and where I grow, there should be a lot of devotees, and I will go and have friendship with them. They will talk to me about the Lord's glories. They will go on taking the Lord's names. Their very vibrations by sitting near them will be so cooling, will be so peaceful, and I will forget the entire world as long as I sit with them. Mama Uttama Shloka Janetu Sakyam. They are called Uttama Shloka. What is my Uttama Shloka? They are such people whose name we should take early in the morning. Oh, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Oh, Ramana Maharshi. So, they are all such great sages. By taking their names, by reciting their names, you get all holiness yourself. That is why they are called Uttama Shloka. Shloka means reciting. So by reciting whose names, it is the best. So it is called Uttama Shloka. The Lord Himself is called Uttama Shloka, and all His devotees are also called Uttama Shloka. So please give me the friendship of those people. Let me be born in a mohalla, in an area which will be near to such people, such devotees. Samsara chakre bhramata swakarma bhi. No doubt, according to the various actions I have done in this birth, the wicked action or the good action, I'll be going on coming round and again, birth, death. I don't know, being a demon, how long it will take to become an ordinary man and that to be a devotee of the Lord. It may take several lakhs of births. It may take. And why? All these things, why am I going round and round? Tvan mayaya, it is all your power. The power of your maya that makes me do all these things. That does not make me see the truth. It makes me take interest in all these worldly things. Tvan mayaya, atmaja dvarage hetu, asakta chitte shanana ata bhuyat. Now, he is asking for a final book. Supposing you are to say, hey, you are such a demon, you can't live anywhere in the mohalla near to any of my devotees. Get out. So I won't put you there. Then I require one negative boon. So far he asked for some positive boons. Now one negative boon he asked. Make me be born alone in a desert. I don't mind it. But let me not be born anywhere near the house of those people whose mind is always engaged in their body, in their wives, in their investments, in their money. Atma, atmaja, dhara, gehetu. Asakti nanata bhuya. Please don't put me anywhere near them. Then I will still further go down. So I will never come out. So you please allow me to be born all alone in a place, in a desert area, I don't mind. But not anywhere near these people. This is the last boon he asked. Thus, these are the five shlokas which are considered the essence of bhakti. How intense it should be. And in that intensity, finally, he doesn't ask for any liberation. He wants to be near the Lord. He wants to have his darshan. Darshana Dogari Rama. That's why he says, it's a beautiful song, but I can't sing. He says, Pani Pikar Chasu Bujahu Nainan Ko Kaise Samajahu. If it's a thirst of the throat, I can take water, I can take Coca-Cola, and thus I'll be able to quench my thirst. But unfortunately, it is my eyes who want to see you. Darshana Dogari Shama. So, how can you satisfy it unless you come before it? So, the same thing. He gives the intensity with which we should love the Lord. And it coming from the mouth of a demon, its value is much more. Your devotee will always praise. But a demon to praise the Lord, it is something so rare. And that too, just before he is going to battle with all gods, with all those people who stand for morals, who stand for good things, and this fellow, he stands for all wicked things, and still he is praying to the Lord. Now he goes and starts fighting with him. At one moment, along with the Vajra, he gobbles Indra himself whole. He goes inside him. Then Indra with his Vajrayudha, from inside, he makes a small opening in his fat belly and comes out. And again it continues. The battle continues. At one stage, just Vritrasura gave a slap to Indra, the Vajrayudha itself fell down and he was standing without anything, and easily Vritrasura could have finished him at that time. But Vritrasura was so noble, even though he was a demon, he was greater than Indra. In this sense he tells, Indra, why are you ashamed? Come on, go and take your Vajra. I will not battle with a man who doesn't have any weapon. Go and have your weapon. Then, leaving all shame, Indra goes and picks up his Vajra, and finally he kills Vritrasura. He beheads him with that Vajrayudha. Now the the point was, you cannot kill a person who is born of a great sage. His tapasya has all permeated through the body of this son. So as such he had the powers, that Vishwarupa. That's why he came as the guru. Otherwise he would have been a disciple. See, one chap went to a guru and told, sir, I want to be your disciple. What is the work which I have to do? I have to get up by 2 o'clock, take your bath, go there to the jungle, which is 3 kilometers off, and then pick all the flowers, each flower in a separate container. We have got 20 containers. We want 20 different types of flowers for our thing. You bring there. Then you go taking the axe, bring firewood, cut it, and then you keep a portion for cooking and a portion for preparing hot water for all the people to take their bath. And then you go to the other garden there. You bring all vegetables. You cut them properly and keep them aside. And now you go to the bathroom. Yesterday evening many people would have discarded their old clothes, their dirty clothes. You will have to wash them all and put them. He said, stop, stop. Tell me, what are the duties of a guru? Nothing. Then I'd rather be a guru than a disciple, he said. So, who wants to be a disciple? Now, Parikshit was asking a question. Sir, it is not so easy being a demon to think of the Lord, and that too in terms of such an intensity. Tell me, what is the reason behind it, that Vritrasura was such an exception, that he was able to do it? Then Shuka says, well, I will tell you his earlier story. After all, he was not a demon always. In his previous birth, he was a great king called Chitraketu. And later on, because of his penance and all that, he was promoted to the rank of Vidyadharas. See, there are various types of semi-divine beings. Vidyadharas, Gandharvas, Kinnaras, Kimpurushas, like that, there are so many types. The one specializes only in singing. Gandharvas, they specialize in singing. Then other people, they specialize in taking their vehicles and conveying people from place to place. So like that, there are various types. So he was promoted to the rank of a Vidyadhara, and he was also given an aerial vehicle to travel where he wants. Just he will think of the place and he can go there. One day he suddenly thought of going to Kailas and seeing Lord Shiva. And the vehicle immediately took him there to Kailas. Then all the great sages and maharishis were sitting before Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was sitting before them royally, keeping his wife Parvati on his lap and then keeping one hand over her. Chitraketu laughed in a wild manner. See this man, he is supposed to be the holder of the dharma, holder of the virtuous acts, and without shame in a public gathering of such great maharishis, he is sitting with his wife in his lap. Even an ordinary man in the earth, he will do it somewhere secretly, he will keep her in the lap, not before all. Even he will have a little shame left. He just laughed and told. See, it wasn't funny, he told actually, after all. See, not that he didn't know, just like that. And Shiva simply laughed at it, but not his wife. She got highly annoyed. She said, you see here, this is an assembly where Brahma is sitting there, so Brahma doesn't know any dharma. And see here, Narada and other great maharishis are sitting. They don't know any dharma. Brahmaji is sitting. He doesn't know any dharma. You are the one who has come all the way to teach dharma to my husband. I am cursing you. You will fall from this state and you will be born as a demon. You will live as a demon all through. Then Chitraketu fell at the feet of Parvati and he told, Mother, I am not doing this so that you may cancel your curse. I accept your curse gladly and fully with pleasure. But because I have offended your sentiments, I beg pardon for it. That's why I am bowing before you. Then Shiva said, see his glory. Even when you curse him, my devotees are never afraid of it. You curse them to go to hell, they will take it with as much pleasure as when they are consigned to heavens. They are not bothered about it. But just because you are sensitive, he begged pardons from you. That's what he showed. Then Chitraketu, he was born as this Vritrasura in this world. See, whatever we do in this birth, it does have an effect in the next birth. Again, the next skanda, in 8th skanda also, that story of the Gajendra comes, the story of the big elephant which was caught by a crocodile. There again the same thing comes. Whatever he did in the previous birth, that alone saves him. This is very, very essential that we have to do. Even if you do a little of the dharma, a little of the virtuous act, you just think of the Lord for 15 minutes every day. As I told, 100 times you sit in your car and go here and there. Every time you go and sit, before sitting in the car, stand outside, think of the Lord. Lord, I don't have time to think of you often, but now I pray to you, please protect me. This much will do, 1 minute, and then you go and sit. And whenever you come out of it, before opening the door and coming out, 2 minutes to the Lord. This journey was absolutely eventless. I was perfect in these days. Many accidents happened. You saved me all through. I bowed to you again and again. You come down. Only 2 minutes. This much we can do per day. And every time, whenever the phone call comes, don't take it and say, hello, hello. Why do you call hell in the early in the morning? Instead you say, Hari Om. Hari Om, Dr. Saab, kya hal hai? So say Hari Om or say, Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Krishna, something like that. So, this again this Chitraketu, how he attained the Vidyadhara's post, again that's being told. When he was a king, he had thousands of wives, several thousands of wives. But he had no children out of any one of them. He was extremely disappointed. One day by chance, one great sage called Angiras, he comes to his court, and he welcomes him, and then he says, and then the rishi asks him, "Hey, you look very pulled down and sad. You're a king. You've got so many wives. What is the reason?" He said, "Sir, what is the use of having all this kingdom? I would rather be a beggar and have one child, rather than be a king and have no child. I want a child. You can give me." Angira tried to persuade him, "King, when God Himself has seen protected you from the world by not expanding it, be happy with it. You can please God. I don't want God and all that. I want a child. So please do." Okay. He does a fire sacrifice, yaga. And then after offering to the Lord, there is a little prasad. He gives it to his first wife, the eldest wife of the several thousands. She drinks it. And in due course, she got a child. And after she got the child, and even before it, the king was only going to her. So all the others were ignored. So they were all very unhappy and jealous of the eldest. They were all very good towards the child. They were fondling the child. But one day, when the child was sleeping and when the mother had gone out somewhere, these people gave poison to the child so that it died. When the mother came and went to take the child, she found he was dead. She began to weep loudly. The king came, and when he found the fact, then he also began to wail loudly. And all the other ladies also, they made a show as if they are also weeping. "This child was not only your child, it was also our child." So they were also making a show. When all these people were weeping, again the same sage Angiras, along with Naradji, sage Narada, they both come over there. And Angirasa tells him, "What did I tell you? Don't ask for a child, he'll bring sorrows to you. But see what has happened." He says, "I don't want anything. You can do it. You give him back, you bring him back. You bring back this child to life. I know you are a great sage. You can do it. You must do it. You both are there. Both of you are great people. So you should be able to do it." They said, "Okay, we'll try." Then that soul is invoked. It comes back. He says, "What is the matter?" It bows to these marshes. He said, "Hey, you were that child, and here you are dead, and these people are all weeping. Come back, they will all be happy." Then he asked, "What? Which parents are they? I've had lakhs and lakhs of parents and lakhs and lakhs of janmas. I don't have any of the memories. In which birth they were my father? What happened?" And then he said, I am actually speaking, I am birthless. It is only the body which is coming, the body which is going. So why are you bothered about that? I have nothing to do with the body. The body you might have had, the body might have died, that's all. And without the soul, the body alone is not going to help you in any way. And I am not concerned with you. After so many times I am now free. I would like to be free. I don't want to come back to anybody's home. Why should I? I don't even recognize you as my parents. I never saw you. You only say that you are my parents." Then they said, "Okay, the child itself refuses to come to you." Then the king, somehow he is satisfied. The soul goes back to its place. And this Chitraketu, he is being given a mantra by Narada Maharshi. He goes alone and he is going on telling, and he does a lot of penance. And thus he became a Vidyadhara. This was his further earlier story. Matrasura's earlier story as Chitraketu, and Chitrakotu's earlier life, So all these things were told. And then in the meantime, as Indra had now got the Vajrayudha and he was driving out all the asuras were highly unhappy. They didn't know what to do, and there were plenty of them had died already during the Vritrasura war. So the mother of all the asuras, she was known as Diti. She was the wife of Kashyapa. The Rishi Kashyapa, he had several wives. One gave birth to all snakes and serpents. Another gave birth to all birds. Another gave birth to all gods, starting with Surya. And another one gave birth to all men. Like that it started. So this Diti came to Kashyapa and told, "What is happening? Are you not your father? See the plight of my asuras, my sons. They are all being driven out. And you are just sitting here saying, Narayana, Narayana, what will it do? Come on, do something for me. I want a child which will take vengeance on them all, which will kill that Indra and all these people." He said, "Okay." He tells her, "I cannot give it just like that. There is a vrata, there is a vow which you have to take for full 1 year. If you do it, then the child will be born who can kill Indra. During this period, there are things which you should not do." He tells her what all the things she should do, what all the things she should not do. Nahim syad bhuta jatani, nashapyan nandatam bhavitri. She should never do any harm during this period of 1 year to any animals. And she should never curse anybody. She should never tell a single lie. Na chindyan na karomani. She should not cut the nails during those days. And na spirshet yadamangalam. Whatever is unholy, whatever is polluted, you should not touch during that period. Napsu snayat. You cannot go and take bath in a river. You have to take bath in the bathroom. Na kupyeta. Don't be angry with anybody. The entire vrata will go for it. So you have to be careful. Na sambhashita durjanai. Never talk to wicked people. First you should know they are wicked. And then decide whether to talk or not. How do you know? Somebody comes to you and asks you something. Do you know whether he is wicked or not? See, there is a disciple of Buddha. He was for 20 years under him, so he has learnt all. So one day he came and told Buddha, "Buddha, I want to go out to all other places and propagate the Dhamma of Buddha. So please bless me and give me permission. Give me some advice." He said, "All my blessings. My advice is, when you go, wherever you go, if you meet a woman, don't look at her. You avert your eyes." Then Ananda was the most favorite disciple of Buddha. He was standing there. He told Buddha, "What are you talking? First you have to see whether it is a man or a woman. So already you have seen her. So where is the question of averting the eyes afterwards?" "All right, you need not do that. But never touch a woman." Then again our Anandji came. He said, "Buddha, what are you talking? Supposing in a lonely place he meets a lady, she suddenly falls down. Either due to the heat or some problem, she is lying down. I won't touch her. I won't put water in her. I won't touch her." well, you can in such cases, doesn't matter. And the fellow went away. After he went away, Buddha told Anand, Anand, you are putting me in embarrassing situations by your questions. Look here, that fellow is of a particular type. So I have to warn him about these things. I don't tell it all. And you spoiled it. This is what happens. So now that lady was keeping the svrata, about more than half the period is over, 6 months are over life. Indra was looking at an opportunity to somehow enter into her body and to kill the foetus in the womb. He was just waiting. But so long as she keeps the vrata, nobody can enter into her body. She has to be unclean sometimes, then only he can enter. He was just waiting, waiting, waiting. After 6 months one day, she came from outside. She didn't wash her feet. Then she was so tired. So she just lay down. She went to sleep. Indra said, this is the time. She entered through that feet inside. And then with Vajrayuda, he cut that foetus into 7 parts. All these 7 parts, they were crying and they said, we are your brothers. Why are you killing us? Please spare us. He said, Hari, I have made 7 parts and still each one of them is alive. Then he made another 7 of each part, 7 into 7, 49. Again they were alive. And in the meantime he found Dityas got up and he came out along with those 49. They are called the Marudganas. They were special semi-divine beings. So he brought them out. And Dityas, who are they? Well, you just had a little negligence, so I entered into your body and killed them, but they couldn't be killed. I only cut them into 49. And they are prepared to work under me, so I am taking them. So he went away. Again she went to Kashyapa, and again he gives her Samudravrata, and she does. And Diti got 2 sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu's son was Prasada. Hiranyaksha's story was already over. So now the Hiranyakashipu's entire story is being told in the 7th Skanda. 7th Skanda, as I told, it is the part which deals with vasanas. What are vasanas? See, whatever action you do, same. She left his purse there and went away. I quietly put it in my pocket because I need it for my fare for the next journey. And he will never suspect a Swamiji of stealing. So I had it. Because I have stolen, in the next birth, I have to have a reaction. My person along with the ID card will be stolen, along with perhaps my passport in the next birth. And that will be done when he is born there in the next birth and comes to me. This is what will happen. So this is called the reaction. This is Newton's third law of motion, which says action and reaction are equal and opposite. Opposite in the sense, it doesn't come from you. How to know whether it is an action or it is a reaction? When it starts from you, it is an action. When it starts from the other side, it is a reaction. Now, apart from this reaction, there is another effect of the action which you did. I stole the purse. So one is the reaction which will come in the next one. I will be punished. Okay. Apart from that, what is the second one? The second one is, when once I have done one thing, this leaves an imprint in my brain. That imprint, what it does is, again and again in my lifetime, it is prodding me, do it again, see that man, his purse is coming out. Come on, go and take it. So, in the next birth, it follows us as vasanas. Vasanas means these imprints made by the actions in the previous birth, which give us a tendency. See, the reaction is something which you cannot avert it. The prarabdha is a reaction. This is something which you cannot stop. Because when once the action is there, the reaction has to be there. When once you shoot a gun, there is the action. Then this portion comes and hits me here. That backlash of the gun, it comes and hits me here. That's called the reaction. I cannot say, I will only shoot, you please go and don't hit me here. It has to. That's the reaction. That you cannot avoid. You cannot say, I want to do, have only this, I don't want this. It has to be. You have to have the reaction. Any action, it is ingrained in it, it is inbuilt in it, that there will be a reaction. But in the case of these vasanas, they are only tendencies. In the previous birth, 1,000 times I have gone to temples, and 100 times I have gone for a race, and all that. Now, both the vasanas will be giving me advice. One will say, you go for race. See, in Bangalore is there, your friend is calling you, he has got a big house, he has got a cook, go and enjoy. There are new horses which have come. Then the good ones, because you have been going to the temple and all, it says, no, no, this time you go for Ramanashrama, remain there, you write to them, you stay there and do something. Now, how they decide, it depends on you. You have got the willpower, because vasanas are only tendencies. You are likely to do it. But as very often you allow the tendencies to take the precedence, say they go on in birth after birth, you do whatever your vasanas are telling, you have become a slave to the vasanas, you don't do any efforts to fight against it. Yes. If I got the vasana because of which I am taking liquor every day since my boyhood, then how to stop it? Fight. You say, I will not take, I will not take, I will not take. But again, you will be made to take. But every time you fight, you gain some energy. Thus, if you do it 20 times, 21st time, the vasana is defeated, your willpower takes, yes, from today I won't take. This is what happens. So, vasanas can definitely be removed by your own efforts. While prarabdhas cannot be removed by your efforts, eliminated, but if you meet a very high level saint, then he has got the power to remove completely your prarabdhas. Our Ramana Maharshi has given an example for that. Well, we will talk about it tomorrow. Hari Om. Kaya Nama Javansi Indriva Abhyatvanabhavya Desubhavat Karo Yudhya Sagalam Paratvena Hraya Yudhya Samarpayam.